Love you, buddy.
35 minutes. Yeah. Thank you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I have 35 minutes. And I have a couple of hours things to share with you, but we will try and do it within 35 minutes. I want to thank you for the honor for allowing me to stand here in this pulpit. I know Pastor Jim, Pastor Debbie, indeed 25 years. For 25 years, this church has been supporting us. And that's why we still look good. Never mind if he points out all the weaknesses of Africa. This year was two big things happened to us, to me and my wife, this year. First of all, we were 50 years married. I want to be honest, we never spoke about divorce or never touched it, but murder. And then we were 40 years in the mission. We have been doing 40 years mission work, or working with other people. And this is where it's our heart. And I still believe in Africa. I believe in Africa more as ever before. I even believe that Africa could make a very big difference, and Africa is going to make a big difference in this world. Totally. You can take that from me. It's going to. Things are happening. Because today I'm far more optimistic, because we have a new generation, a new type of leader, the younger men who do not depend anymore on somebody else coming from Europe, or depending on dollars, or depending on, let's call it, white faces. You know, that's how we started mission work. And today we have younger men who have a more passion and zeal and understand what is God's plan and God's purposes for the church. For nearly, you could say nearly 30 years, I've believed in. That's what we believed in. Never mind, the first years we did evangelism, we did church planting, but my heart has always been that what God laid on my heart, that the function of the leader is to raise up more men and women and bring them to a higher level as what they were before they came to that church. And I still believe that. And that is why we see churches growing and doing well. It's not because of us, it's anyhow the Lord. But we see things changing. I even told them last 2 weeks ago, and you must forgive me, by I'm leaving anyhow tomorrow if I say the wrong thing. So I even said to them, because I have no core leaders, I'm focusing on core leaders I am fathering. We are fathering them. And I think that's what we have been doing anyhow for many years. Maybe I didn't understand the fathering concept that well. Although we have always been fathering. Fathering is be a father to someone. So now I'm fathering them to make them understand. The function is not just winning souls, but winning souls, bringing in children, in order, because automatically when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a child of God. But we need to go a little further. They cannot remain children. They need to become sons. Then they also need to become fathers, because that's the season where we are moving into. That's why I believe very much we cannot remain where we have been. And there was nothing wrong with the past. One thing I've learned in the past 2 years, not to criticize the past, not to look down at the past, because the past helped me to get where I am today. Never mind if I've made, you know, even in a ministry, I failed many a time. I did many things wrong. Pastor Jim was responsible that they gave me a doctor's degree, and I don't really deserve it, because I did many things which were wonderful things, great things, but that we are not always God things. It was me. It was my emotions moving and doing. And I know I don't feel guilty about it. Praise the Lord. I did it. And we are still around. We went through issues. We went through failures. Myself, I failed many a time. But one thing I've learned, yesterday finished last night. I go on. And we need to move on. We need to move on. We cannot remain where we are. When Pastor Jim said this morning, and that blessed me, it gave me a little more courage. When he said he's always been praying that every seed should be full. Is that correct what he said? The seed should be full. Every seed, there should be somebody in that seed. But you know, he's not the only one who has to do that. It's we. You are not here just to be a child in the church. You are not here just to enjoy church. You are not just here to receive, but go and take. You are responsible to bring in. You are responsible to transfer what is in you. We live in times where we cannot preach anymore what we the way we used to preach. And we used to do things. My God knows. If I listen to my own messages, I want to jump from the cathedral's tower. I threw them all away. I burned them all. But you know what? It worked. It worked. But today we live in another time, in a different generation. And I believe as I was this morning trying to figure out what I all see here, then I felt in my spirit, and I said it last week and 2 weeks ago in Kenya, 3 weeks ago in Tanzania, I said, this is nothing. There's going to be much more happening in the times to come, because we live in a time where God is going to take this thing over. And that's what I like tonight. Tonight I've been blessed. I've been blessed for two things. First of all, when I looked at the video while we were waiting to Aunt to come in, how many children were dedicated. I believe very strongly when you see those children, when I saw Yolandi's son, that's Henny, Pastor Henny's daughter's son, that's only a year and a half, something like that. When I saw this guy and how intellectual he already is, he can work with an iPad. I cannot even work. I know a little bit. But I see this guy switching it on, change it to games, change it to pictures, change it to color. But I realized one thing. We are responsible for the preparation of that generation which comes out of that little boy. Pastor Luke's wife they are expecting another. They don't know yet what it is by next month. But we need to see what's coming. Out of that child could come a generation who will do the finishing work. Who will do? Because the Bible tells us a generation yet to be born. Yet to be born. And that, can you see the responsibility we have? And we are not going to preach anymore to those children. We are not going to push any more verses down their throat and make them sing choruses if we do not live the life. And we got away with those things in the past. We got away with that. But if you look to the future, we need men and women who Elijah was singing tonight, the right type of songs, which also blessed me. Because the days of just worshiping are finished. We need to start singing quality songs. Songs which uplifts God, brings God down or heaven down to earth. We are not here to go to heaven. We are here to bring heaven down to earth. To earth. Tell me quickly. No, you must be honest. Pastor Jim was very honest this morning when he said, do you think I need God? And everybody said, yes! And then he said, oh, is it really that you think I need God? But you need God. Now you must be honest. How many of you, okay, want to die? Put up your hands. Who want to die? My gosh, that's not even one hand. You see, that's good, that's great. Because God never planned for you to go up. God planned for you here. And you've got to get the things going. With the presence of God in your life. And that's what I believe. When I listen to his words of the reign of God, the God in us. And when he prayed about the presence. You know, I'm hungry in the last year. I'm hungry for the presence of God. It's no good I stand here. It's no good I try to bring a message if we cannot become aware of the presence of God. We need the presence. We don't need more. We need Him. You understand that? But you are the platform. You create an atmosphere. You create the atmosphere for Him to be here. You. And you can only create that type of atmosphere with His presence in your life. And that's important. Now, if you forgive me, I was thinking while we were singing, I was thinking on this verse. It's not even part of my program or my message. Listen to this carefully. I'm not going to tell where it is written because I want you to listen. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a... Oh, only one person knows that. But a son. But a son. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I'm a son. I'm not a Christian, I'm a son. Okay, we are, well, let's call it Christians for the sake of it. But I don't call myself anymore a Christian. I call myself, I'm a son. But you know, the problem is this. This is our problem. And I like Pastor Jimmy when he mentioned yesterday something, or day before yesterday. We all become children. Like this little boy of 1.5 years old is just a child. But it's our responsibility to see that he grows and becomes a son. Now, many of us, not here, at other places, we are maybe 20 years in the church, or 30 years ago we have been baptized, and yet we are still children. It's time that we move on to the next level, because we need sons. God needs sons. We are sons. Say to the person next to you, you are a son. And even if you are a woman, you are a son. In God, there is no gender. Hello? We are sons of God. Now start seeing yourself as a son. Even if you have childish behavior, but let's start working like this morning's message. And if you were not here, try and get the CD or the DVD. I think it was a tremendous message. Plain, simple, down to earth. And I might close with that, because it's also about prayer. But you know, the moment when you start growing, the moment when you become and you start seeing yourself as a son, you know what to pray and wherefore to pray. And like the very first point this morning, it was about wisdom. It's not about give me, give me, give me. God is not Walmart. Wisdom. But anyhow, what I wanted to share with you, and if, forgive me, this is a letter I wrote to my sons. Let's call it to the leaders in Africa. Listen to this. The Lord is awakening us to who we are and why we are who we are. He has a purpose for each of us to fulfill his purpose on earth. God wants us to understand that our destiny is to become the manifested sons of the kingdom. In other words, God has a purpose. We'll get to that just now. Now listen to this. That's how God revealed it to me, and I wrote it. I believe we are standing in the most significant time in the history of creation. I believe we are standing on the brink of greater things, even in this church. Things are going to happen like never before. Many things happened. Great things have happened. This place is there because something happened. If you look to the figures, it's because it happened. But guess what? More is going to happen. Just more. You take this from me. Because when God is in it, it's going to happen. I believe we are standing in the most significant time in the history of creation. We are in an hour of transition. Time of change. Change means moving on. Hearing what God says. Doing what God says. Hello? You see, thank God this comes now to my mind. I'm finished just a teaching. And maybe I'm going to teach it somewhere I have in mind. A teaching about I was a traditional Pentecostal. We always spoke about faith. 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 You don't have enough faith. You need to pray for more faith. Faith. Faith here, faith there. It's not about faith. It's number one, obedience. Obey. Obey God. Obeying, doing. Doing. Be disciplined and doing. Then your faith starts growing. The more obedient you are, the more faith. So we are not going to talk about each of them. Just say, faith. Yes, without faith we can't do it. God himself is faith. But from faith, we go to anointing. Lord, anointing has nothing to do with performing and jumping. Anointing is God makes you able to do that what he planned for you in your life. God gives you the ability. I can talk for an hour about anointing. But the one, if on obedience you flow into faith, faith starts growing. The more faith and the more you do one and two, the more anointing you will have. And we need that anointing. And many people right there stop at anointing. But from anointing, if that starts growing and becomes more, it jumps into glory. This tree where that was me. So it's my through due to me. Me listening. Me doing. Me increasing faith, etc. Anointing. Operating. God's operating through these three things. But when it comes glory, he's doing it. It becomes him. Remember that. Now listen to this. I wrote it and I felt this tonight. I need to tell you this. We are entering into a new order in the kingdom of God. A day is coming, and it is the next major event in God's program of the ages, when all the glories of the Son of God will be revealed and manifested in the sons of God. In other words, the glory will increase, the presence of God. In other words, that's glory, presence. If we talk about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, we see he created, he made man. He did not first say multiply. No, no. He said first be fruitful and multiply. It's not, it's first fruitful and multiply. Yes, his image is the glory of God. We are not just here to multiply. We are here to transmit his glory, his presence. I think we got away with many things in the past. We used to work on people's emotions. We used to force people make decisions based on what I, you know that. That's what I also did. But when we look to the future, then we'll see it will not be done anymore. There's a new kind of people. They need to see God. They need to experience his presence in your life. They need to see and read on your face his glory, his presence. A new reality is being formed in the elect of God in this hour, which shall spread all over all creation. God is creating something new. A new history is beginning. A new world is coming to the earth. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Nothing is going to stop it. Nothing. So when God says, God is raising up a people, and through the sons of God, he's putting a seed into the earth. We are the new seed for the new age. God's purpose in raising up Christ in us, that through us, the generations of mankind may be lifted out of the curse of sin and death, lifted toward revelation and eternal life and glory. In my heart, I believe that's the answer. If we want to do something effectively for his kingdom, it has to live in me. We cannot just be satisfied by going to church, as we have heard. Yes, we are part of a body. You cannot operate without God. God's intention was not a denomination. God's intention was a family. We are family. We belong to this household. And we are part of this household. And therefore, we need to work as a household. We need to come together. We need to cry together, pray together, rejoice together. Together we move out. Because, hey, if you had received a message, like some of these messages I heard Pastor Luke brought on Wednesday evening and this morning, hey, we cannot just say, it was a good message. That means nothing. Implementation without application does not work. We need to take those messages, and we need to go and chew on those messages. We need to rethink, maybe re-listen, discuss with others that this message becomes a reality, otherwise it means nothing. I'm busy with a total new teaching, and I will send it to Pastor Deborah. She can help me fix it if I did it wrong. And this teaching I call, let me get it here. I call this teaching From Revival to Resurrection Power. From Revival to Resurrection Power, which means your position in Christ. It's no many people want revival, but they never get revived. Many people want to attend revival meetings, and then when they get goosebumps, they say that's God. God does not work through goosebumps. Hello? Many want this. This is so wonderful. They all get kicked and nobody gets started. Hello? And when we go home, we say, wow, that was a good message. That was fantastic. That was wonderful. And if you ask them, what did they say? Ooh, that was so wonderful. It was too wonderful. Listen, it's time that we come and we must start listening. Because the power does not lie in reading books. The power doesn't lie and go for extra classes and special certificates. It does not lie in listening to a tape. It's hearing. The power is in the hearing. When the word is spoken, we need to hear that word. We'll come back to that one. Oh, hallelujah. May I read some of the verses? I don't know if we are going to get there. But can we go together? Don't open the Bible. I want you to read with me. Matthew 5 verse 13 in the message. Is that handy? Is it there? Okay, are you ready? All together. 1, 2, 3. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out God flavors in this earth. Number 14. 1, 2, 3. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You have lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Number 14. Keep on. 1, 2, 3. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. Hallelujah. Next verse. Look at the next one. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on the light stand. Hallelujah. But some of us are in a hiding place. It's time to get out of the hiding place. It's no good to say in your bedroom, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Maybe you must stop saying anything, but start living the life. Next one. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine, say shine.
Shine.
You better start shining on your faces. Estee Lauder is not going to help it. Or the other creams everybody puts on. It's still a mask. Hey. We need the natural smile, a true smile, the glory coming from your face. Hallelujah. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Next one. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God. Wow. Oh, stop, ride the bus. Isn't that true? When opening up to others, we've heard it this morning, I think, or in the singing, it's about love. God has never stopped loving me. Even when I failed, he was there. He didn't run away. He was there. Powerful man. He doesn't give up on you. Don't you give up on God. Don't mess with God. It's on the back of the bumper of the car I'm driving. Okay. Completing God's law. Next one. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. Next. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together. Pull it all together in a fast panorama. Next one. I think that's the key. You know, if you look at these four verses, and I think you need to read them again at home and think about, go to the next one. Ephesians 1:11. I think we've got that one. Are you ready for reading that one? And if you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus, many have come to the front and many say they have been saved, but they don't know the Lord Jesus. You know, hey, If you are here and you are not sure of your salvation, then you're at the best place tonight. Hello? Because there's the key. Are you ready to read that one? 1, 2, 3. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had an eye on us, had designs on us. For what? It's not about that we can prosper. Prosperity has nothing to do with money. It's a spirit. God wants us to prosper. In Africa, people have no money, but they prosper. Hello? You see, you can have 5 Mercedes-Benz and a house with a swimming pool at the top and yet not prosper. You can have nothing. A couple of dollars in the bank and you struggle, you can prosper. I love that one. It's in Christ. Nowhere else can we get that assurance. Now listen to this. And this is what I speak lately very much about. We live in a season where God is revealing Himself in such a tremendous way as never before. I believe that we are going to experience God. It's no good we come together and we have a nice time. It's not about the nice time. It's about getting into the presence of God. But you have to bring Him in. That's what we want. We want, like he was singing, say, I love it what they sang tonight. And it's also wonderful to sing, it's well with my soul. Then while you sing it, you really start examining yourself. Yes, he's preparing a generation who will take, who will do the finishing work. But listen to this. In Numeri 14 verse 21, God used to say, he said, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Shall be. And then he says, and that's not on the board, Isaiah, and Isaiah 14 verse 24 to 26. Who can change this? Who can stop me doing that? What I have decided will be like that. So the glory of God has to spread. The answer doesn't lie in the politicians. The answer doesn't lie in the dollars. The answer doesn't lie in the EU. The answer for America is here. We. Nobody else. Nobody else. Even it looks bad. Even the corruption is on the top. It's not about AIDS. It's not about the gays and abortion. It's about me getting right. So that I can be that instrument who will bring forth change. So, and I can only do that when it is in me. I said just yesterday, if you know someone who loves God and he operates like a leader or a father, stay close to them, because I believe walking next to a grace carrier. Stay close to people who release grace. Hello? Only one amen. It's okay. But you know what? Yes, these things are going to happen. I believe we are standing on a brink to see something. Yeah. Listen. I've also learned in the past few years that God doesn't need 20,000. Hello? He needs just a few who are willing. Even in this church, we are many. But hey, that's wonderful. But isn't that necessary that we get a remnant, the remnant operating who help those people to get what they have? But that needs a lifestyle. Because when you live in the full righteousness and you walk in the statutes and the kingdom principles and the kingdom laws, you draw people. People want what you have got. Now, if you take these verses, I want to read actually to you Matthew 24 verse 14. I have 2 minutes left. Can you believe it? Are you there? Okay, I'm reading it. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it. Then, finally, the end will come. We are not here to run away. We are not here for an escape mechanism. We have a responsibility to do that, what God wants to be done. I like Pastor Jimmy. He sat also this morning. No, I can also sit like him. And you know, when is Jesus coming? Don't think about all the problems we experience and the mountains who have spit fire and all the tsunamis. Forget about that. The only sign when Jesus comes, there's enough scripture in it, is when this world has made the footstool for his feet. So what does that say? Hey, you can celebrate, you can say, oh, Jesus must come, I want to run away, and he's coming at the end of this year. No, forget about it. Matthew 22, verse 44, Hebrews 10, verse 13, when this world has made the footstool for his feet. So, what do we need to understand? First of all, there's a reason for your existence. There's a reason why he created you. And my slogan in the last 2 years is, while purpose is why you were born, I think it's there, while purpose is why you were born, vision is when you start seeing it yourself. We need to understand why we are here. Hello? Why? Why were you? I believe, they need to correct me if I'm wrong. But if I listen this morning and what I've been hearing, we all believe that even before you were created, God knew you. I believe that God created this world. And the sixth day, only in the last part of the sixth day, the second part of the last part, he created, he made man. So that man could have everything and enjoy everything he created. But I feel that he knew something is going to be wrong. And that is why he planned for his coming. His coming was at hand already. When you study the Old Testament, that is all telling us about his coming. So what we are saying is, we are not here by accident. We are not here because my father and my mother slept together. We are not here because the Sunday afternoon didn't turn out very well because another baby was made. And that baby is not an accident. God's planned for it. And we need to understand that. Why are we here? Never mind if we've even heard it this morning. Even if we struggle. Even if we have all these things we experience in this life. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit took him in the wilderness. But in the wilderness is where he was tempted. When you are not reading the word, when you're not studying the word, when you're not living according to the word, you will be tempted. But while you are in the wilderness, he's feeding us. He's looking after us. And now I need to finish. But I'm not even halfway. May I just say one more thing? Can you put that one thing up? Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Listen to this. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Read it. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. When you take that verse, and when you take the A part and the B part, you know what I saw is something I only learned just recently. In you. So when he's in you, he becomes the catalyst. The catalyst. I don't know if I pronounce it properly. But it's the one who makes you able, who provokes, who's the agent that provokes significant change. We cannot change people if there is nothing in us. We need the fullness of his glory. Yes, so what I'm saying, the word glory means the supremacy of Christ, power and authority. Number two, the attributes of Christ. Yes, the characteristic, the assets of Christ. Yes, Christ needs to be formed. And then the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 4 verse 19, do you know how I feel right now and will feel until Christ's lives become visible in your lives? The Amplified Bible speaks about formed, molded in you until Christ becomes visible. Brothers and sisters, we are his children. Never mind if you are still sucking a dummy or on the bottle, that's fine. You are there. But let's move on. We need to move on. We need to grow. If we want to make a change like this church has always been doing, this church has never been catering for the people inside the church, but also for the people outside the church. And that's important. We are here to make the difference. We are here not just to preach the gospel, but to make a difference. When people see you make a difference, when you drive, when you sit on the train, when you sit on the bus, when you arrive at the work and you walk in the office, the people must immediately experience something is happening. The presence of God is moving. Now I'm finally closing. Sorry, forgive me, but I need to say, you know, we are not religious, but we are spiritual. Are you happy with that one? We are spiritual people. Because religion focuses on heaven. Kingdom focuses on earth. Yes, we go to God for sure if we go. That's what Pastor Jim always says. Religion reaches up to God. The kingdom is God coming down to man. Religion wants to escape. Yes, religion is man's effort to impress God. So how do we? And then now I close, Jim. Okay, here's it. I'm closing. How do we increase in that glory? How do we get through these four stages of obedience, faith, anointing, glory? Simple. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. There are 4 points. Number one, there it is. And they continually steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of the bread and prayers. Number one, we need to get back to the word. Get back to the word, correct? Number one, word. So take your time, read the word, study the word, let it go through you. Try to hear what he is saying. You know, we also need revelation. There's a proceeding and a preceding word. The word, people die, people fail because they do not read the word. Number two, we need fellowship. We need fellowship. The fellowship, when you read word, when you are full of the word, his presence starts increasing, but then you want to share it with others. Come together, share the word. Number three, they came together. That was the power of the very first church. Table of the Lord, communion, breaking bread, eating together, but also breaking bread. It's nothing wrong. And breaking bread a couple of times a day, we'll talk about that later. Said lastly, is prayer. Why is prayer number four? You have been listening this morning to prayer. That was fantastic. I even learned again. I've taught people 30 years ago how to pray. I used the Lord's Prayer. But why is it number four? You see, if you study the word and you live according to the word and you have fellowship with the believers and with others and you break bread, you know how to pray. You know how to pray. You know how to pray. And that's what we've heard. You don't need to make a big study. But if you do this, if you start living in these 4 points, start seeing God's plans and God's purposes for you. He did that already before you were created and made. Thank you.